we'll do on spirit filling, and then Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise, I won't be here next week, and then we'll have the Christmas, and then we're going to start looking at Satan, our arch enemy, Satan, and we'll do that a little from a little different angle, no different truth than we've done before. So as we look at, I want to start by reading a verse, and then we're going to come back and comment on it. If you'll turn to Philippians, the third chapter, we'll start with this verse, but again, like I said, we're not going to explain it at this point. We'll come back to it. I'm reading from Philippians, the third chapter, and the 10th verse. This is Paul, and in this context, he's saying that it, basically this is one of his main objectives in life, that I may know him, that would be Christ, even the power of Christ's resurrection, and the sharing in common of his sufferings, while being made conformed unto his death. We're going to look at this because in the resurrection of Christ, there's power for the Christians. And we're going to look at that today. It coincides with our look at spirit filling. But before we do that, what we're going to emphasize today is the human responsibility to divine enabling. But this is left off in most teaching about spirit filling, so I don't want to ever mention spirit filling without mentioning this, is that it is a divine enabling. Spirit filling is simply the Holy Spirit enabling us to think the correct thoughts. Now, to do that, we have to have our family relationship correct. Now, if you look at your notes and in my examples or analogies before, I've told you that when we confess our sins, essentially, if we're a car, we're in neutral. But when we have our sins confessed, we now have access to the ministry of all three persons of the Godhead. And when we determine or decide that we want to please the Father, then we're putting that car in motion and we're going in first gear. Another term for moving in the right direction spiritually is being spiritual. Another term for being neutral, for going in reverse, is carnality. So those two, the idea of being in neutral doesn't last very long. Now, a lot of people think that they can just confess their sins and all the things will be peachy creamy. No, you have to, Philippians 2:13, start wanting to please the Father. You don't have motion, you're not alive, you're not animated, you're not in movement until you want to please the Father. And then when you want to please the Father, that activity will be in concert with those thoughts that the Holy Spirit gives you. So that's a very important concept. Now let's go back to Philippians, the third chapter, and we're going to set the context, and then we're going to go to some other places to see what the full extent of this means. In Philippians, the third chapter, if you look down at the 8th verse, we read, doubtless I count all things lost for the excellency of the experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, rather. I want to say, when you hear me and translate the word knowledge or know to be experiential knowledge, remember, experiential knowledge always involves putting things into practice. It implies activity. You don't get experiential knowledge of how to put a puzzle together until you actually move the pieces. You can sit there in your mind and think, yeah, those pieces go together, but until you actually put them together, you don't have that experience. So experiential knowledge then is different than head knowledge. Experiential knowledge implies practice. It implies activity. Let's go on. In the excellency of experiential knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Important phrase. So what Paul is saying by means of the Holy Spirit, that this only happens when he has Christ as Lord in his heart. We've covered that many times. For whom I have suffered loss of all things. Now, what did he suffer? He suffered physical loss. And what he's going to say in this context is that physical loss is absolutely has absolutely no comparison to the spiritual riches that he can gain. Keep going. That I've suffered a loss of all things and do count them as refuge, a garbage dump, that I may gain, not win, that I may gain Christ. What he's saying is if I have to give up everything physically and become, and this is the idea of becoming more Christ-like, that's my mission. So we have Christ-likeness in verse 8. Verse 9, and to be found in Christ, in him, in Christ. What he wants to do is he wants to be found here by men to be living in his position in Christ. Now, what does that mean? A lot of people teach position but don't understand position. Your position in Christ is not something that you on your own or I on my own determined to do. Our position is in Christ is when we're rightly related to the Father and we want to please Him. And when we want to please Him, the Holy Spirit will put those things in our mind that will please the Father. Another way that I've tried to describe it is now our allegiance becomes to the Father, alive unto Him. Now our loyalty becomes to the Father. Now our fealty, there's many words you can use. Our responsibility becomes to the Father. So Paul is saying his responsibility is up there, not down here. But now you function down here. How do I live a loyalty to the Father down here? Live the new commandment down here. Okay, and to be found in Him, verse 9. Not having my own righteousness. Now there is a righteousness under the law. What Paul is saying is he doesn't want to present himself to men by things that he does and does not do. The law is what you do not do. The new commandment is what you do do. I think that's proper English. That I might not be found having my own righteousness, which is from law, but contrarywise, have a righteousness that is through the faith regarding Christ. The righteousness which is from God through or based on faith. Now that brings us over the 10th verse. The reason he wants to experientially know, he wants to experientially practice Christ. Now how do you experientially practice Christ? You do the new commandment. When you're rightly related to the head and you minister to the rest of the body, it can be what seems menial. It can be something that nobody else knows about. It can be supplicating for another Christian. It can be interceding for another Christian. It can be encouraging another Christian. It can be teaching another Christian. It can be a multitude of things. But when you do that to the rest of the body, you get a special relationship to the head. That's what it's saying. That I might experientially know Christ, even the power. Now this word for power, there's many words. We're going to deal with that in 3 weeks from now. This word is inherent power. The idea of inherent power is how something normally operates. A lot of times you can translate this as the word, the ability. The word in English is that you can do something. So there's some power that we can get from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he continues and says, I want to share in common his sufferings. We won't be dealing with that today. We will later on. While being made conformed to his death. Now, I hope you see there's some similarity here. Now, we're going to go back over to Romans, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to show you something I didn't show you when we were there. I told you we can't get it all. We'll get one other nuance. Let's go back to Romans, the 6th chapter. I want to show you something, and this is where we draw the line between divine enabling and human responsibility. Keep those two separate. Although they work in concert. Romans, the 6th chapter, and we want to start with the 3rd verse. Don't you know, or don't be ignorant, that so many as were baptized, remember this is spirit baptism, there's no water in Romans 6. No water here. If you need to remember that, it's over in 1 Corinthians 10 or 12, verses 12 and 13. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's also in Colossians 2:12. The Holy Spirit does this. This is not water. That we were immersed into Christ Jesus, not Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. How do you be conformed? What are you conformed to over in the third chapter of the book of Philippians to be realizing the power of his death? Conformed to his death. Over in Philippians, the third chapter. Okay. That we were baptized into Christ's death. Therefore, we were co-buried with him by the previously mentioned baptism. Now, I want to set up something here. When it's in the past, now, first of all, we got to, let me construct something different. In the Christian life, there's past tense salvation when you were initially saved. There's present tense salvation of what we're doing now. There's future tense salvation, which has to do with what's going to happen after the rapture, at the rapture and thereon, after glorification. When we're in present tense salvation here, we can look back at what happened when we were initially saved. Here's two things. When I was first saved, when you were first saved, the Holy Spirit immersed us into the death of Christ. Isn't that what the verse says? When we were first saved, the Holy Spirit immersed us into the burial of Christ. Now that's important. The death of Christ is important, and the burial is just as important. But I want you, we talked about that previously. We won't spend a lot of time there today. But I want you to see the switch right in the middle of verse 4. Verse 4, therefore you are co-buried with him by the previously mentioned baptism in the previously mentioned process of death. That like. Now it doesn't say that we're baptized. Now this has been taught wrong for a whole lot of years by a whole lot of people that teach positional truth and don't understand positional truth. It does not say we were baptized into his resurrection. Does anybody have a verse that says that? No. So we were baptized into stuff that happened at our initial salvation. But it does not say we were baptized into his resurrection. How do we appropriate, how do we gain access to his resurrection? That's the question we're going to answer today. Read the rest of the verse. For like, now that word like there, that like, that's a simile. It's not identity. So like as Christ was raised from the dead ones, through the glory of the Father, even so we should order our lifestyle by a new quality of life. What does that mean? Well, what it's saying is that it was the Holy Spirit who baptized us into Christ's death. It was the Holy Spirit that baptized us into the past, in the past, into his burial. But in the present, it is up to me. Now, this is a human responsibility, divine enabling, everything. I cannot do it on my own. It is up to me to order my lifestyle in that newness of life. How do I do that? Well, let's go back in our context that we've seen 100 times. Last part of verse 11. But count yourself. I have to count myself alive, that means activity, unto God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a lot there to unpack. We're not getting it all today. But the point is, I have to count myself alive. In the present, the past was taken care of by the Holy Spirit, death, burial. In the present, I'm alive because I have the indwelling Son of God and I have eternal life. But to have resurrection life, I have to count it. Now, it works out I can't count it on my own. That's the power of his resurrection. How, here's our second question today. How do you and I as a Christian access the power of Christ's resurrection? Ooh, that's a pretty important. What does it give me the ability to do? Let's look down in in verse 13, which coincides with verse 4, last part, that we are to act as those that are alive out from among dead ones. But we're the ones that make we don't make ourselves alive, but we're the ones that count ourselves to be alive unto the Father. Now, let's do it again. A Christian is alive spiritually, but they don't always act like it. But when a Christian determines to count themselves to be alive under the Father, what are they saying? There's where my allegiance is. There's where my responsibility is. There's where my loyalty is. Can I do that on my own? No. That's the power of the resurrection of Christ. Now, how do I get the power of the resurrection of Christ? Now, remember, Christ's resurrection's in the past. I'm in the present, but my resurrection's in the future. My resurrection is based on His resurrection. Let's go to Romans, the 6th chapter, the 5th verse. Let's give you a good translation of that 5th verse. For this cause, since we have in the past with present results been joined with the likeness of Christ's death. Now, that how were we joined with the likeness of Christ's death? I just read it to you. By baptismal work of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to have a promise, and it's in the future. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is in the past. Watch this verse. It's going to change tense. We were joined in the past to His death. Now watch, contrary-wise, last part of the verse, contrary-wise, we indeed shall, that's a future tense, shall be joined in to His resurrection. So how am I joined to Christ's resurrection? It's in the future. Watch, now let's go down in the passage to verse 8. Let's see how that works. Now, if we be dead with Christ, how were we dead with Christ? How were we cold dead with Christ? Baptism of the Holy Spirit in the past. We believe, we have faith that we shall, future tense, also live with Him. How shall I also live with Him? By faith that my resurrection based on His resurrection in the future, that faith makes my resurrection so real that I can, in the present, live my life as though I know for sure that resurrection is going to happen. Now we're starting to put it together. But we need one more verse. Let's turn over to Colossians, the 2nd chapter, and the 12th verse. Colossians, the 2nd chapter, and the 12th verse. It's kind of neat to me. We've been harmonizing the Gospels. It's kind of neat to me how all Scripture is harmonized. It harmonizes. It's all together. Colossians, the 2nd chapter and the 12th verse. Co-buried with Christ in baptism. What baptism is that? That's the spiritual baptism by whom? The Holy Spirit. These verses sound like they know, like they have the same author. And you know they do, the Holy Spirit. Let's keep reading. Co-buried, it should be co. The with there goes in front of the buried. So I would read it, co-buried with Him by baptism, not in. In whom, in Christ, also you are co-risen. Oh, Rich, I thought you say we weren't co-risen with Christ by baptism. No, we're not. We are co-risen with Him, but how do we get co-risen with Him in our mind? Keep going. Co-risen with Him through faith. So in the present, I was buried with Him. I died with Him and I was buried with Him by the Holy Spirit baptism. But in the present, the way I am co-risen with Him is through faith. Now, what would that faith be? What's the object of that faith? The promise that I'm going to be resurrected or changed at the rapture based on His resurrection because He had the victory over death. Since He had the victory over death, there's no sting of death to me. I will have the victory over it. You will. So since my resurrection is in the future, or glorification, if you're the live generation, is in the future. How do we appropriate the future into the present? By faith. Faith is always future. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is always past. So how do I, keep going, bury with him through by spiritual baptism of the Holy Spirit, in whom, Christ, you are co-risen with Christ through intermediate agency of the faith regarding the work of God who raised Christ out from among dead ones. So not only did Christ's resurrection have something to do with my initial salvation of the gospel, but it has so much to do with my present salvation that when I focus on the fact that I will be resurrected in the future, that faith allows me to be co-raised with him. Do you see the difference? Do you see it? I hope you see it. Baptism in the past. Resurrection in the future. Now let's put some things together. Now let's go back to Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians, the third chapter. The 10th verse. And we're just going to focus on this first phrase. That I may know, in this context, this is a what's called a, it's an infinitive of purpose. This is one, Paul is setting out his mission statement in the present tense salvation. That I may experientially know, by practice, even the power of his resurrection. What ability does his resurrection give us? Well, by faith, I believe the promise that his... Let's do that verse. Keep your finger here and go back to 1 Corinthians. Don't ever forget this verse. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And I think it's about the 23rd verse. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And it is the 23rd verse. This is talking about resurrection. Let's go to verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Now Christ is risen out from among dead ones. That's the verse we want too. Becoming the first fruit of them that slept. So Christ is a sample of the crops to come. And you see that there's an order of resurrection here. So if I truly believe by faith in Christ's resurrection, then by faith, I also understand I'm going to be resurrected because he's the first fruit. This is Christian doctrine. This isn't how you get saved. This is how you operate during the present, in present tense salvation. Now let's go back over to Philippians 3:10. That I may, through experience, know Christ, even, now here's how we know Christ, the power, the ability, the inherent power, that which is the inherent ability or nature of his resurrection. What does that mean? Well, let's go back to Romans 6. Romans 6, and we'll look at the, let's look at the 11th verse. When I or you count ourselves, this is a little transition that a lot of people don't get, so I want you to get it. Last part of verse 11, when I on the other hand, or you on the other hand, count ourselves to be live unto God the Father, how do we do that? How do we have the ability to do that? What's it based on? I read it to you back in verse 5, I read it to you in verse 8. What's it based on? Faith of your resurrection. Now do you see why that word alive unto God, that word alive there, is resurrection life? That word alive is resurrection life. Because I don't have to count myself to have eternal life. I got it. That's over in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Or is it the 5th chapter? No, it's the 5th chapter, 11th and 10th verses. They're both on the right-hand side of the page. That ability to count oneself alive does not come on your own. That's the power of the resurrection. Why would I be alive unto God the Father? Because my allegiance goes to Him, because that's where I will be. Jesus, the night before He died, John 14 said, "Don't be agitated. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so," here's the part we're coming to, "I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now here's the part. "That where I am, there you may be also." Where's my future home? If I am truly focused on the promise of a future resurrection, where's my permanent home? Where I am, there you may be also. So, this has taken, about 12 weeks to do. When we come to Romans 6:11 and we count ourselves to be dead to the sin nature, what we're doing is saying that the Holy Spirit baptized us into Christ's death, and that we, because we, when we count that according to Colossians, the 5th chapter, we're putting a lot of stuff together. Colossians, the 5th chapter, about the 24th, 23rd verse. But when we do that, we're nailing our sin nature to the cross. We're just taking a hammer and whacking that bugger and putting him right on the cross. But if we stop there, nothing happens, because we're not ever dead as a person. We have to be animated somewhere. So then we turn from that sin nature in our figurative mind, and we turn to our new nature, and we say, "Yeah, I know what my future is. I'm going to be with him. I might as well get it started now." And my loyalty is up there. I cannot do it on my own. That's the power of His resurrection. Don't you see? If I believe in that promise, it's so real that I can get power from it today. So I can reach out in the past by the baptism of the Holy Spirit into the death and burial of Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I can reach forward into the future by the faith that the Holy Spirit gives me and bring it in the present, and that gives me the power to count myself alive unto Him. The power. Now let's go back in the context of Romans 6. If I can do that, the last part of verse 4 comes in. "Even so, I should walk, order my lifestyle in a new quality of life." Wow. That kind of reminds me of over there in Philippians 3 when Paul says, "I've lost all these physical things," but it's just like going to the garbage dump. I probably should have taken the dump ahead of time instead of people stealing them. But now I have all these riches in Christ. That's what's important. Over in verse 13, when we're saying no to these members of our body that do these things that the flesh wants us to do, we are acting as though we are alive. Last part of the verse, it's actually the third line from the bottom of verse 13, as those that are alive out from among dead ones. Because I've nailed my dead, the sin nature's not dead, but I've nailed it to the cross. I'm dead to it. I've nailed it to the cross. Now, I want to back up. I didn't mention it while I was... You know why the burial's so important? Okay. We were baptized into Christ's death, but we're also baptized in His burial. That means that the work on the cross is finished. When we're baptized into His burial, the work on the cross is finished. It's going on. And that burial is where we have to be baptized in, because that's where we're going to picture ourselves coming out from among dead ones. You can't come out from among dead ones unless you're buried. Your body's buried. But the ability to do that, now this is what they don't get, these positional truth people that don't understand positional truth, is that I cannot do it on my own. Where do I get the power to do this? I've only read it to you about 10 times today. The power to do this comes from the promise of my resurrection based on His resurrection. So there's a power. There's an ability that if I focus on his resurrection and how that relates to me, there's an ability that I actually get that I never had before. That's what the word power there, the inherent power, dunamis, has the idea of an ability to do something. And it comes from his resurrection. It comes from that. Now, I want to remind you that you have that in Romans 6:4 and also in Colossians 2:12. You have the concept that we were baptized into the death by the Holy Spirit, but it's through faith that we're co-risen with him. Now, I have heard it taught many a time. We're co-buried with him, or dead with him, we're co-buried with him, and co-risen with him by spirit baptism. That scripture doesn't say that. Scripture says we're co-risen with him by faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is the ability to believe a promise of God so much that it becomes real as that wall there or the chair you're sitting on. Do you ever have faith on your own? Who gives you faith? Well, let's see. Fruit from the Spirit. Oh, faith is one of those. This is faith to live by. This is not faith for salvation. The power of the resurrection is not for salvation, although it's part of the package for salvation. The power that Paul has already being a Christian is anticipating. You can almost hear it in his language if you read it in the original, that he just, I can't wait to, I just get to know Christ even more because of that power that comes from the resurrection. And the power is the ability to count yourself alive unto the Father. And that's called, we call it resurrection life. We call it resurrection life. Now, I did a little summary here. I thought I was kind of interested in my writing, so I'll go ahead and read it to you. The power of the ability from Christ's resurrection is the power to reckon yourself alive unto the Father and frame your three things. Alive unto the Father, Romans 6:11. Frame your mind above. Can I frame my mind on my own? No. That power comes from the... Why would I want to think about things above? Because of the power of the resurrection. So by that, I think I put in your notes, it's 7, part 1. On number 1, reckon yourself dead to the or alive unto the Father, put Romans 6:11. Under frame your mind above, put Colossians 3:2. Under rise out from among dead ones, put Romans 6:4 and 6:13. All of those have the idea of living resurrection life down here. Now, living resurrection life down here doesn't mean that I go around staring at the stars all the time and forget it. No, living resurrection down here is that you get the full circuit, and the power down here is from the resurrection, and the power down here is real because of a promise, and down here I'm motivated to please the Father. What do we know from Scripture? This is over in first. Oh, we got time. How do I please the... You know, I'm presuming you remember that Philippians 2:13 says that when you have a right relationship to the Father, you want to please Him. And the Father is going to, through the new nature, give you desires to please Him. And the Holy Spirit is going to make those lusts. We've put in a bunch of verses together. Now, how do I love the Father to show I want to please Him? Turn to 1 John. I haven't done this for a while. This is a verse I've offended a lot of people with, so we might as well go over it. 1 John, the 4th chapter. 20th verse. What are you going to do? Go hug Him? I just love God. Here's one I hear. I just love Jesus. What do? You hug Him? Sit on Him? Oh, I can't wait to get up there. I want to sit on His lap. No, you can't do that. You're not going to have a glorified body. You won't even see Him until you have a glorified body. How do you love the Father? How do you love the Son? 1 John 4:20. If a man, now this is talking about Christians, say, I love God, and is indifferent to his brother. What's the opposite of being indifferent to another Christian? I would say the antonym of that phrase is the new commandment. Love one another, wouldn't you? So let's do it another way. If a man should say, I love God, and doesn't practice the new commandment, he's a liar. Now, this is in the present tense. You might have loved God when you were saved, but in the present tense salvation, if you're not loving the brethren, you're not loving God. For he that loves not the brethren, this is Christians, whom he has seen, that person cannot, it should be cannot, love God whom he has not seen. Let's do it another way. If I'm not practicing the new commandment, I'm indifferent to the brethren. If I'm indifferent to the brethren, I'm not loving the Father. If I am practicing the new commandment, what would be the reverse of that? I'm loving the Father. So how does a Christian love the Father? Love the brethren. Because you can hug them. Hopefully, I don't play that, but figuratively in this life. Figuratively in this life. So here we have it. As a Christian, if I'm rightly related to the Father, and I want to please Him, you cannot get your car going until you get that. Everybody wants to get their car racing around the track in neutral. I want it to be in forward gear. And if I want to please the Father, I'm alive unto Him. But how do I do that? I focus on the fact that He was raised from the dead and He's the first fruit of my resurrection or change at the rapture as the live generation. And because of that, my allegiance is to the Father, because the Father raised Christ out from, that's also in Colossians 2:12. Christ was raised from the dead by the Father. He was also raised himself, and also the Holy Spirit made the human body alive. But the Father was emphasized when the promise is made that I will get a glorified body and you'll get a glorified body. Well, if I'm going to get a glorified body, remember what I call this? This is the Friday go to work, different attitude. When you go to work on Friday, you dress differently. You have a uplifted spirit. I know. You know, the worst time of the week when I was working jobs I didn't like and things were happening all around me, kind of like a big man. The worst time of the week was Saturday night. Why? Sunday night. Why? Because I had to go to work on Monday. The best time of the week was Friday afternoon, 10 minutes before I got off work. Why? Because I wasn't going to see those rascals for 2.5 days. We live in the present with our focus by faith in the future. And when we focus on that, how many times have I, during this series, said, to live the Christian life, you have to have the rapture as preeminent and as imminent and immediate in your mind. Because if that could happen at any moment, I so anticipate that at any moment, it affects, just like Friday afternoon, how I act now. And if I'm focused on my resurrection, what's that based on? Christ's resurrection. And if I'm focused on those two and how they work in tandem, what do I get? The ability to count myself to be alive before the Father. So the power of the resurrection is the power to have allegiance and to have a mind up there in the third heaven. And that word allegiance is, I haven't just picked that out because I like that. That is a good example of a positional truth. Positional truth is, let me go through this land. Oh man, I really hate being, but okay, I'm blessed in the blood. No. Positional truth is, I'm so glad you're my Father. I'm so glad you're my Father, and I'm so, you've made that, through the Holy Spirit, that promise that I'm going to be with you and with the Son for eons and eons, so real, that I want to please you now. And I know I can't come up there and hug you, in spite of the cartoons. So I have to take care of the brethren down here, because that's what I know you want me to do. Let me just read the three verses in Philippians, and I think they summarize them. And then we'll close with that in Philippians, the third chapter. And we're going to start with the eighth verse, because this is Paul. No, let's start with the seventh verse, Philippians, the third chapter. But what things are the gain to me that I've counted loss for the Christ? Yea, doubtless I count all, now this is talking about physical things, as loss, for the excellency of the practiced knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now I will suggest that's not just put in there by mistake. If Christ isn't Lord in your heart, that none of this is happening. For whom I have suffered loss of all physical things. I'm interpreting for you as we go. And do count them but refuge of the dump heap, that I may gain Christ. And we know this to be like, that I may begin to be Christ-like. It's back in verse 14. And be found in Christ, living my position, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that righteousness which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God, based on faith. This is a mission statement. That I may experientially know or practice the power, the inherent power, the ability to do something of Christ's resurrection. So here what we try to do, and be fair with Scripture, is present the fact that there's all, you know, it's just like, let me give you an example and we'll close with this. In salvation, I've got a whole bunch of verses that says that it's just a free gift. Hey, here, hey, free gift. I got two different words used. One's a free gift and one's a gift there's three words. A free gift, a gift without strings, and a gift of grace that you don't deserve. That's salvation. But you know what God does? God says, then when old dumb Rich Schaefer said, yeah, that makes sense, and believed the gospel, he gave me credit for that. That's human responsibility to divine enabling. He gave me credit for that. When I, as a Christian, or you as a Christian, count ourselves to be alive under the Father, he gives us credit for that. But are we really doing it of our own moxie, on our own? No, we're doing it through the power that comes from the promise that His resurrection is the first fruit of our resurrection. Our Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the folk. We thank You for the fact that You've made all the provisions we need. Ample provision to please You. And we ask that that be our quest as we go out into the world.